not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com. Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent.
Watch the skies.
Hello? Hello? Hello, привет, добрый день, халака, хуйновен. Aloha, hola, jumbo, assalamu alaikum, so kres, buongiorno, hello, javach, zresti, dobro utro, dobro vecher, dobro dien. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good whatever. I am your host, the Right Reverend Dr. Rowe, and you're listening to me. And this.
Keep looking.
freedomslips.com. Revolution Radio. Yes. Happy New Year, everybody. It is New Year's Day. Sky. Oh, we'll talk about the sky tonight and a lot of other things. So today is April 1st, which is the new year. It is the beginning of spring. And don't let that old Gregorian calendar stand in the way of truth. Yes. Anyway, it is Thursday, the first day of April 2021. And we are here on Studio B on freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. And we're 100% listener supported. And we thank you, all of you listeners, even the ones that didn't support us that are just listening. Thanks for just listening. Because, hey, you're still beautiful, even if I don't know you. We're all in here in this together. And we'll go into that. So welcome. We have a chat room, chatsy.com/freedomslips. Like freedom slips away. In our chat room, we have many chatters, and I want to say hello to everybody, because I like to do that, because they're really cool. They post cool little pictures, jumping kitty cats that fly. Cats are sacred, by the way. And you'll find out exactly why cats are oh so very special in the big scheme of things tonight. They will have an honorable mention. But first, let's see. And we may, depending on how long I ramble, we may continue with 1984, or I don't know. So we'll see, depending on how much, because I'm going to tell you some things, and I don't know how long it's going to take to tell you. But I'm going to tell you. Here in the chat room, we have Tootsie, we have Mona Radler, we have SJ. Wild Bob, we have Guy, and a mesmery. Dry Fly Guy, Mer Bailey. Hi, Mer Bailey. Dr. Memjing, welcome, Dr. Memjing. Sleeper One, Major Thrash, Vincenzo, buonasera, Lauren, Rudolph, Factor Theory. Dawns to you too. Hey, Dawns to you too. Comet, Jet 99, Boy Solomon is also in our chat room along with Eagle Flower. Hello, Eagle Flower. Wally, I must scroll down. Monster 383, who does our website and our automation and a bunch of other stuff and runs around scaring little children. No. Saul Rosenberg, Cat Dog Girl. We got Batsman, Surrey Sunflower, Sissy Bar, Nasomania, Boots, Ron Allen, Not Much to It, Dirt Engineer, The Engineer of Dirt, Mitzi Lou, and Pat Rabbit, he hops around, Chair Bear, Choppy Water, myself, Stardust Man, I haven't heard much from Stardust Man. Are you out there, Stardust Man? Pack, Popsicle Toes, oh, I have to click to view more. Maced 139 and Hammerhead. Well, where did Mario? Just all of a sudden you left Mario. It's just gone. Mario. You just talk and run? Is that it? Or maybe you just didn't chat for a little while. Susie Q is also in the chat room. Attention, everyone. Susie Q has entered the room. As well as Shermanator. Hello. Hello to both of you. All right. Hello to everybody. I hope you all had a wonderful week. We're winding down and coming up to the new week end. This is, like I say, New Year's Day, because
the Gregorian calendar with the Pope Gregory, and he came along and it was like, we got to change things around and blah, 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 blah. And they changed it all around because, you know, they were like, oh, you know, if you like the pagans and you celebrate your new year during the spring, when it's like the natural new year, of course, of the seasons, because that's when life. Okay, but now it does depend on where you are, because it's not spring everywhere. But it's spring where it matters. Anyway, I'm celebrating the new year. It's April 1st and it's spring where I am. So I'm going to roll with it. Okay. Just now tonight, it's going to be a different show. Tonight is remember, this is a variety show, and don't take what I say. Now you have the option. You can take parts of what I say seriously. Take all of it very seriously. You can take none of it seriously. You can take it all under the guise of entertainment or just a viewpoint or a possibility, a what if. Like, well, maybe I'll make a comic out of it or something. You know, a comic book. Although this is not a comic book. The nature of reality has been visited by many people. And it's been, pardon me, pondered. And people have asked many questions about reality, about death, about life after death. What is the nature of ghosts? You know, there's a legend that's about the time when there was no moon. And yes, there was a time when there was no moon. So when I talk tonight and I say some things is like they're a matter of fact, you can choose however you want to take them. Again, just take it with a grain of salt. But I'm here to put a little bit of a thought in your head, or maybe you've heard all of this in a different form before. I'm sure many of you have. But here we go. So where to begin? I think the best place to say is, okay, there's a lot of people that live all their life and they don't really question reality. They may be conservative. They might be religious people. It doesn't really matter what religion. They could be Hindu. They could be Muslim. They could be Christian. They could be Jewish. They could be a religion that we've never even heard of. It's all the same. It is the opinion of some that, well, you are being lied to. You're not only being lied to on a physical level in this realm, this so-called stable, thick density. I don't know. It's not a higher density. It's a thicker density of some of the other realms. Now, ponder, if you will, everything you know, everything around you, everything including time and space, it all is contained within a matrix. It all is an actual simulation. Imagine a couple people, if they die. They might die, and then you have kind of options. Now, most of you are going to see, probably everybody, is going to see a light. Right? It's going to be a bright light. It's going to be mesmerizing. It's going to be inviting. There might be people that are familiar. There may be the emanation of love. And you'll go toward the light because that's the instinctual thing. We've all done it many times, because if we hadn't, we wouldn't be here. And this is the trap. This is the nature of the matrix that we are in. You see, it was supposed to be, the old stories do have a sliver of truth. There was a Garden of Eden, and you are an immortal being. And depending on your perspective, on how you look at it, it could be, you could look at your situation as you got nothing to lose, it's hopeless, or don't worry, eventually everything's going to be okay because you are immortal. You are the being, and you are not the body-mind. Right now, you are the body-mind. And in the large scheme of the universe, the omniverse, and all of existence, karma does not matter. That's right. You heard it. I know many of you may disagree with me, may get angry, whatever. But karma is a con. Karma and karmic debt don't matter. Now, there are contracts. There are soul contracts that you can enter, but it's not your fault because you don't remember. And there is fraud that's being perpetrated. Cosmic level fraud. So when somebody dies and they go into the wild, when you die, you're going to be disoriented. It's like, whoa, what the heck has just happened? And you're going to be in this in-between place. And there you have a couple of options. One option, the most common option, is to go to the light. And if you go to the light, you will find yourself basically in a place that looks a lot like Earth. With these folks that are just dressed in robes, also liars, that are going to tell you, oh, you know, you're dead. And we're going to orient you, and you've got to go through the life review and all that. And the reason that you're not in heaven right now is that you've made too many mistakes during your life, and you've created karmic debt. They're going to tell you that. They're going to say, well, you've created karmic debt, and now you owe a little bit, and you have a balance. Heard this method of operation sound familiar? So you have a balance that you've got to pay off with a contract. And of course, you agree to this. The afterlife counselors, they're usually other deceased humans who work for the hierarchy that some call them the archons, the demonic archons, you know, that and there's a self-declared god, the satanic demiurge, the grand architect of the universe, he calls himself. So there are other folks that you may have remembered in life that are actually there. And there's streets and there's cars and there's buildings and there's like shops. You can get there through the dream time. You can go through astral travel. A lot of people will get to this in a moment, talk about, oh, you shouldn't mess around with astral projection or no, actually you should. You should very much so mess around with astral projection. And we're going to get into the reason why momentarily. So you can stay, you get to the afterlife, right? And excuse me, my cat is tapping on me. No, you got to wait. I'm doing a show here, Kitty. You get to the afterlife and the counselors will tell you again, you know, hey, you're dead, and da 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 da. And then you may have relatives that have passed. Now, it's luck at this point because the relatives may have set up something like if your parents died and they're still there because in the weird time frame kind of thing, if it's not too long, they may have set something up for you. So you might have a place to stay or whatever. Many people have no place to go, and so they choose to just stay on the street or something. And other folks find out that the relatives, the people that they knew, have actually been sent back already. They've been reincarnated. And unfortunately, when they get reincarnated, they get a memory wipe. And unfortunately, it creates all new people that don't remember you. That's it. And it's required after a certain amount of time in the afterlife. I know, it sounds weird, but it's true. You're required to reincarnate. So let's say like 30 years or whatever it is, you know, poof. And also some people, their personalities change in the afterlife or life. They find themselves doing weird things. Now it's true. Like, there is the promotion of debauchery as well in the astral or the afterlife, which we will for simplicity's sake refer to those synonymously. And you are in a louche farm. Yes, that is true. Many of you know the term louche. It is an energy farm. Originally, like the old stories go, this was a Garden of Eden. There is a free universe outside of this louche farm. For whatever reason. Now, again, you're not a fallen angel. It's not your fault. This was supposed to be an experimental amusement park. It was supposed to be a Garden of Eden, a place where free souls and spirits living, well, existing, eternal, godlike, immortal beings that we actually are, were to come and play, incarnate and create and exist on different levels of existence in different types of universes to for novelty. And something happened. Something went wrong. And we're trapped here in this universe. We are all trapped. And the machine of the universe is a satanic demiurge that is sentient, and it's completely gone mad and insane, and it is now keeping us here using the energy that we give off, and we are trapped in the karmic the wheel of recycling of reincarnation. And they're using karmic debt as a con. Now, a long time ago, people lived longer. Okay, when people lived centuries for a millennial, like if you had a 1,000-year lifespan, and or you didn't have a memory wipe, you would get the humans were too intelligent. So a deluge happened because we almost figured out a way out. There was technology, like the pyramids, about 60,000 years ago. Humans figured out a way to utilize technology to try to blow open the barriers that are holding us in and keeping us from the real free universe. Let's see. You can access and you can get a sneak preview, if you will, of the astral if you practice, if you do lucid dreaming. And why do you want to do that? Because you want to prepare yourself so you remember on the other side after death, so you can consciously choose your options. So you are aware. Because the more people that are aware also, after a certain amount, and we're talking about billions of years, but after a certain amount of time, we've been here billions of years, in case you didn't know, there would be hopefully a critical mass, and we will be able to break the grid, if you will. There's not a savior. There's not going to be Jesus. There's no Al-Mahdi. There's no Messiah. There's nothing that's coming back to save you. Now, there's no ascended masters. Okay. You know, some folks do so well that they don't have to reincarnate. If they do really well and serve the demiurge well, like, for example, Jacques de Molay. He did so good that he's rewarded that he doesn't have to reincarnate and he doesn't have to have a memory wipe. He can live in luxury in the astral, in the other side. And a duality is created, a life-death system to keep us in this cycle. Because we're soul beings, we're immortal God creators ourselves. And you can have a good without evil. Yes, it's simplistic to say. Our true form is a pure immortal soul that exists outside of this known universe. The goal again is to prepare yourself to remember in death, to escape through a hole. There are holes. There are ways you can get out. So you're mandated in the afterlife to actually attend sessions when you're told about how you made life mistakes and the creation of karmic debt. They say that the physical realm that you're in right now is dense enough that all the things you do leave an imprint, karmic imprint. And this is a scam. Like all everything else in this existence, it's a scam. It's a lie. At every level, the lie is different, and it's all a lie. Now, a lot of the counselors, quote unquote, in their little fancy robes, they're going to lead your little sessions. Some of them are people that think they're helping. They're useful idiots on the other side as well. But other ones know the truth. You know, and that's why some of the elite on this side know the truth. But they keep that hidden because they know that there's rewards given to them by the Demiurge later on in the existence if they keep the scam going and if they keep the energy coming. See, that's why. So that's also the answer to the question of how come good doesn't always win? Isn't good stronger than evil? No, actually, no, it doesn't matter. You know, the stronger will win, whether it's evil or good. Now, being good is a lot more nicer. It's more comfortable. Symmetry is nice. But you can be evil too, and it doesn't matter in the big scheme of things. I know people are going to be like, what? What do you mean? And yeah, that's why those that serve the satanic demiurge are ruling the world right now, because this is a contained prison outside of the free universe, or it's actually in a little corner that's walled off from the free universe, where there's like the demiurge is like a little kid in the corner playing with this little toy, and we are inside the toy. Now, on the outside, we've been stifled, you see, we're spiritually intoxicated. Spiritually inebriated. There are electromagnetic types of frequencies and things that are keeping all of us spiritually drunk and preventing us from using our full capabilities. If you were on the moon right now, where the control systems are, because it's physical and astral, it's on both sides. Inside the moon, they actually have a afterlife control center management area. But, you know, the physical body that you're in is a genetically created vessel. You could understand that, of course, and it's managed. And then when your being consciousness moves out of this genetically created vessel, then it's managed on another level. Now, you should probably meditate on a regular basis. You should probably write down your dreams. You should maybe train yourself in astral projection and lucid dreaming. This might actually teach you to have an awareness and even a power when you're out of your body, when you're in the astral state, when you're dreaming, if you're familiar with it, then it's easier to exist, to even defend yourself if necessary, to realize what might be going on. A lot of people are very shocked. I guess, you know, death is a pretty traumatizing event, to say the least. So, you know, when you die, it's, you know, going to wake up and go, whoa, what the heck is going on? And so you're going to be vulnerable. Most people are. Most of the recently deceased have no training. They've never meditated. They're totally unfamiliar with the astral realm, the state of being, because they're also very confused. And again, vulnerable during the death process. There's a reason these things about dreaming and astral travel are not taught or even shunned. That's the reason also that the human lifespan was capped at 100 years. When humans lived many centuries, they were able to retain memories from past incarnations more easily and take time in life to develop both spiritually and technologically to figure things out. The evil demiurge and its minions, they realize these things and they cause a deluge, and they cap the lifespans at about 100 years. Now, some of them, like let's say the Dalai Lama, who also serves them, he reincarnates, and they let that one keep a little tiny bit of memory, so that when he reincarnates, the test, when they say, here, let's show the little kid some toys, and if he picks the right toy, we know he's the Dalai Lama, the reincarnation, because they that you believe that. There's a lot of truth, actually, in Tibetan Buddhism. It's also a scam, don't get me wrong, but there's... There's a lot of they're little pieces. So their guy reincarnates, and he's the controlled, you know, he controls that little group. And that reincarnation is also a reason why people in families, in these bloodline families, do such horrible things. Now, again, don't get me wrong. I am not for evil, quote unquote, as we perceive it on this, in this plane of existence. And for simplicity's sake, we should try to do good. We should try, but it doesn't matter to the universe. There is no karmic debt. So if somebody goes around killing people and taking their money and getting away with it, they got away with it. This not, you know, a lot of people, well, you're going to get yours. You're going to, the Lord's going to come back or whatever. You're going to be punished for. My mom was like that. God's going to punish you for that. Don't you? And I used to believe that, but I don't. It's a lie. There's no ascension either. It's another lie. It's another 100% fake concept, ascension. The whole, you know, oh, well, okay, yeah, it's not, but it's ascend. You can ascend. You can become, I think it gets a little smarter in this universe, but it's over the overall scheme of things. That's, it's fake. It's made up by the archons, if you will, to keep you, to keep the humans in the ongoing loop of rebirth, enslavement, death, reincarnation, memory wipe. You are already an ascended being right now. You're trapped in a physical shell encased within a multidimensional matrix maze with amnesia. So the object is to escape. It's not to become enlightened. It's to remember and go, oh, yeah, that's what the heck is going on. Think about the machine elves that are out there probably helping create this stupid reality. And again, it was supposed to be a wonderland. It was supposed to be a place where we could come and we could incarnate and live a lifetime or whatever as in a beautiful place, experiencing things that, you know, are different just for fun. Like when we go to an amusement park, you know, and what would happen if you went to the amusement park and you went into the haunted house and the doors locked, and then it started to really become like, oh, it's not an illusion anymore. But the illusion is still an illusion, but it's even more real. And now I forgot. And you're running around the haunted house thinking it's real, having no idea. And there's some bunch of people on the outside boarded up the entrance to the amusement park. They put guards in the parking lot and told the rest of the city and stuff to go away. And the rest of the city is out there going, wait, what's going on with the amusement park? The management of the amusement park went crazy, and all the machines are under his control, and he's not letting anybody in. Well, that's kind of where we're at. Okay, now, so what happens when you die? If you don't go into the light, what happens if you somehow, and it's going to take strength, somehow figure out, okay, I remember, I'm not going to the light this time. Well, then you've got an option. You can either come back to Earth as a ghost. You can remain earthbound as a ghost. You can take time then to plan your next move. Or, and if you're going to do this next option, it's suggested that you do it immediately, is you look for a hole. You look for an exit. You continue to move around because apparently there are exits. There's ways out. And then if you can get out to the free universe, it's escaping and you're good. If you choose to go into the light, you're going to find yourself on this, well, it's going to look like a planet. Just like, kind of like Earth, with buildings and houses and cars. And then they're going to approach you, counselors, the little robes, and they'll tell you, yep, you're dead. But we're going to help you. You created karmic debt. Has to be balanced and repaid through reincarnation. Now, keep in mind, remember, they're most of these people don't know what they're doing, and the other ones are evil. There is a satanic global elite in our physical dimension, right? You're aware of this. They know. They worship. They work for these same archons, the demiurge, in exchange for what? Power. They together herd humanity into ongoing economic and energetic slavery. On the astral, you can eat food for pleasure. It's not really needed. You can get drunk. There's no war. Everything is controlled. However, it's not favorable to the living world. It's actually apparently more brutal. I've reported on this when I went to Kutu on a show maybe a year or so ago. There's a city in the Astral called Kutu. And I went in depth about the law enforcement there, which are very, very brutal. They move like a machine in unison. Their uniforms are black. And they make the Gestapo and the SS look like Cabbage Patch dolls. Now, there are questions, you know, about the satanic global lead on this dimension, and some of them are not human, right? You figure that out. They're basically non-souled portals controlled by the demiurge, controlled by the AI of the Matrix. Other folks are humans who have sold out for whatever reason to serve the demiurge and its crazy agenda. There are folks that masquerade as ascended masters, as spirits, guides, and angels, all 100% fake, lies, all lies. Boom, across the board. Now, you're told on the other side, the deceased, that is, to stay in line. No, you don't question anything. You're not allowed to fly. And if you do, if you get out of line, you're brutally assaulted. There's a huge law enforcement presence. You know, people expect to find heaven, and that's an illusion. There is a heaven. It's outside. It's in the free universe where you're a god. Okay. And it goes, okay, the moon, before I get off track here, the moon is basically a relay station. It's amplifying and projecting control signals that are coming from, we think it's coming from Saturn. And yes, the moon is hollow. It is inhabited by little critters that are the grays, reptilians. They serve the hierarchy. Folks have remote viewed or attempted remote view or astral project into the moon. It's very difficult. And they have highly trained psychics and people that are significantly trained in astral travel. And those function of those people is to block other folks. They have regular rooms of people that are like, they're meditating and they're doing their little thing to keep other folks out. And a lot of the stuff, signatures can be monitored. They have satellites and stuff that can monitor this stuff. And so they don't come and kill me, please don't. then they find the folks that have the signatures and then they approach them usually at a young age and co-opt those folks to work for, you know, the New World Order, if you will. Just remember, they're going to be lying to you over and over and over. Soul contracts are scams. Unfortunately, you know, there's layers of societal religious programming and human weaknesses. People never question authority. Look at what they're doing now. People are wearing masks. People are all that. This is a little mini me of the overall thing. That's why the nature of reality that you're in right now is the way it is. But it's time to wake everybody up. Just like Donald Trump said in his reverse speech, wake them up. Let's invert the inversion. You can stand in front of a mirror. You can say, I'm a sovereign being. I cancel all soul contracts. I am free. I am a sovereign being. I cancel all soul contracts. I am free. They're not valid. They're based on lies. The archons that formulated the contracts are demons. And they've conned a great portion of humanity into worshiping them. They're evil. The lords of karma, the angels, the spirit guides, the ascended masters, all of them. They're a million times worse than serial killers. They have the audacity to pass judgment on humans that they have relentlessly terrorized, enslaved, and entrapped and scammed for centuries. The Astral Council with these lords of karma and their flashy robes and absurd crowns who want to put themselves up and become position of a deity and ask to be worshipped. And they want you to sacrifice things to them and follow all the rules. Yeah. Now, there supposedly was a group from the outside, from the free universe, with, you know, that entered this simulation from the entry point was, I think, the year 1561 over Nuremberg or something. But there was a problem. They underestimated the aggression of the Archon hierarchy and became engaged in battle. Some of them escaped and some of them died and became caught in the reincarnation cycle and are trapped. If you have memories or weird dreams of being left behind in a strange world, you might be one of those, you know. And we're talking about time spans of billions of years that we've been here. The last time that anybody is aware that something from the outside tried to intervene was 1561. Now, before that, I don't know. Maybe never. And there are reports that nobody is ever going to try again. There will not be an intervention. We are alone. We are, I don't know if you could say abandoned, but nobody's coming to save us. Now, you know, Source is an internal energy from the outside. It's if we were able to contact the source energy of the Omniverse, we would be able to overpower the simulated universe, but it is blocking it off. It's parasitic. The Matrix AI is harvesting energy from us. The Archon, and it's enslaving us like we are on a farm. The white light is like a machine. It projects when you die, a unique experience to each person. Maybe loved ones are shown near the entrance to get you to come closer. If you resist, it's very mesmerizing. A lot of people will focus on it like a deer in a headlight. And if you get close to the light, it will magnetically try to pull you in. You don't have to do anything. You can just drift. Because you're dead. You just died. And you're like, what the? Oh, mama, papa. You know what I mean? It's real easy. That's why we're here. That's why we keep doing it over and 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 over again. Now, some people are fine with it. Some people, well, as long as, you know, if I'm reincarnating and I keep forgetting, and it's true, you know, it's the luck of the draw. You're like, well, I don't remember the past life. Right. You don't remember your past life. But if you could, you might realize certain things. So if you don't go to the white light again, you can become a ghost. Now, remember that the Matrix and the Archons are synthetic. They cannot exist outside of the simulation. You were inside the simulation. And they barricaded them off and blocked off the sim from the real universe. The amusement park that turned into a nightmare. And society needs to understand that if we're ever going to figure this out, that life changes are necessary, and they're doing everything they can to prevent that from happening. I mean, look, you've got water with fluoride in it, shutting down the pineal gland, which you need. There's a reason why they don't tell you anything about the pineal gland. There's a reason why they don't have children meditating in school, that everything is flipped. Also, as much as I like meat, slaughtering animals, it's a low vibrational energy that gets into the meat, and then you eat that, and that's not good either. And it lowers the vibrational rate of the planet. If the vibrational rate were to rise high enough, we may be able to literally vibrate our way out of this thing. Now, just because they're all liars doesn't mean that some of them don't have some interesting things to say. You know, like the teachings from Jesus, the Christ character. Don't look at him as a person or a deity. Look at the Christ as a teaching thought form. Or like you would, the kingdom of heaven is not a place, it's a force. An energy, limitless, that can heal and transform. It can change a slave into a super being. And you can feel it in the astral, small portions of it. And you can feel it here also. You can feel the power. If you practice Qigong, if you do Qigong training a little bit, you don't have to be a master, but just a little bit of the basics, how to breathe and how to focus the energy. And you know when you make your little Qi balls, or chi balls, whatever you want to say. Those you create when practicing. That's the key. That's part of the energy. But it's so strong on the outside that it gets in even though they're trying to keep it away. Now, there are elderly Qigong masters that will tell you long, long ago, some Buddhist monks could make large chi balls and thrust them and throw them at their enemies. But look, those kind of things are hidden or forgotten. Long ago, humanity has drifted away from some of the things that are natural. And we've moved off into this it's more dense, but it's of a lesser density. it's a lower density. That's it. It's more dense, but of a lower density, which is kind of a weird oxymoron. Visualization is probably a good tool too, because the simulated universe that you're in is a holographic projection, and it can be influenced, and you are very powerful, all of us. There's a story about a person who taught about visualization. He lost, I think half of a finger in an accident, and he literally grew it back. Now, it didn't happen overnight, but you can't just think about something and have it happen. You have to be focused. You put in sessions, you relax visualization, and da, da, da. And this guy started to do it, and over a long period of time, he started to grow his finger back. So you can also, if you listen and if you meditate and you tune and you start going in and out of the astral and you start dreaming more. I did a dissertation on dreams. I did a PhD, but that's a whole other thing. No, but if you can listen and you can, if you start training yourself and you combine these things, let's say the breathing, the Qigong, the astral training, the meditation, the research, the intent, the realization, you can hear the ghosts. Sometimes you can see them, but you can hear them. And they're like, it's kind of like somebody talking underwater. You might not be able to understand what they say, but you will hear them. And it's possible that if you hear that, it's a ghost trying to talk to you, trying to communicate. They come back down. And then they're not in the other side. They're in the astral, but they're not in the zone. They're kind of in the in-between. Most of the ghosts will stay in areas they died in, they're connected and familiar with. I don't know if that's something that they're bound to or if they just choose. I have no idea. Ghosts can be in groups, although it's very, very rare. Pet ghosts, particularly the ghost cats, are encountered in the astral realm all the time. They're very often encountered and very, very friendly and very, very powerful. Negative energies, evil spirits will not enter in an area that is inhabited by a living cat or if a deceased cat is even there, a ghost of a cat, you will not see evil things. That this is always good to have a cat. Just cats are good. Also, if you ever see your cat, you know, looking at the air or something or looking up at something, they might be scanning an energy field to determine if it's a negative or a positive kind of thing or neutral. And very often a cat will stay by you because they like your energy and they will act as a guard, an astral guard. So, but yeah, it's good to have a visualization skill, I guess. You know, the Matrix, I guess you could say, has enslaved humanity because humans have forgotten how to self-project reality. You know, in the real universe, we're godlike. We create all objects. There is no predatory matrix doing it for you like a television set. That's what akin to what we're in, compared to our normal reality. We're like watching TV. It's like now if we're like, well, I'm just going to watch TV as opposed to going somewhere in real life, quote unquote. That's what we're like doing right now. We're watching TV as opposed to being in the free universe that we can create anything. You know, when you're in the astral as well, it's easier. So if you need money or you need to change your form, that's usually easy for people to do if you realize it. You can visualize, you know, 50 bucks or whatever you need in your pocket, poof, and then it pops out because you're going to need money in the astral realm. Yeah, it's not like you're going to go to heaven. I'm telling you, you don't have to believe me, but you're going to go there and you're going to, oh my. And if you go in the light, you can't get back out and come back as a ghost. You're already committed. And you'll go back in and you'll be like, oh man, that guy on the radio, he was talking about this. He said it was going to be exactly like this. And there they are. Hopefully you'll remember that then. But of course, the problem is once you're in that situation, even if you remember, once you do your memory wipe, which sucks, it doesn't feel good. You don't want to have memory wipe. Even though, okay, at the end, then you come out, wah, wah, like a baby, you come through the birth canal and you're born back into reality and you got to go through the whole lifetime thing again. And it might be a good lifetime. Who knows? You know, it might be a good one or it might be a bad one. You don't know, but you're going to forget everything. And who knows what the world's going to be like if you come back on this timeline when you come back. You know, and your astral body's not going to dissolve, by the way. You can't really die. There again, the Buddhists, the Tibetan Buddhists, they had a lot of things right. Some of their stuff wasn't right, but some of the stuff was. There's old ghosts that are very old, and they're still hanging around. But you want to stay alive. You don't. Death is not an escape. Let me be clear. Okay, live a long and healthy life, work on consciousness expansion, mental training, and you can do alteration of consciousness. You can take LSD, okay, if you want to. It's your life. But a lot of times, these things that shove open, kick the door open to your pineal and to your experience in certain things, hey, because it's all a lie, okay? It's all a freaking lie. There's no ascension. It's just a realization. Now, a lot of people are going to look at me and go, what? But that's a possibility. Now, so again, food, commercially prepared meat in this world is loaded with dense, low vibrational fear energy. I mean, animals are horrified before the death process. And these vibrations become embedded in the meat on an industrial scale. And then you eat that and then you find yourself with bad luck. And that's why because the energy field, the human energy field, it becomes polluted with the dense, low vibrational energies of the fear that is produced. It's not like scalar. Well, it is kind of like scalar. It's like a scalar fingerprint, I guess you can say, in a way. Their energies of suffering and fear take root in you and manifest later as some sort of an illness. Now, if you want to do an astral projection, make sure it's real quiet. You need to be relaxed, usually in a bed or on a couch or in a really comfortable chair. There's a lot of, I guess there's a lot of videos and stuff. One thing I like to do to be real simple, a method, a technique that I use is a rope method. And you get in a relaxed state, you lay on your back and you concentrate on something, the nothingness. I like to envision a white cloud that is starting to encompass everything, and that white cloud encompasses everything until the point where everything is just sort of a gray whiteness. And then from above you, a rope comes down from a point, and then you envision your arms kind of, you don't move your arms, but you just envision your arms reaching up to grab the rope and pulling yourself up. And if you do it right and everything is good, and you can get over that initial uncomfortable feeling of being watched and the rushing sound that you may hear, and perfect the not waking up but remaining consciousness that you're going to sleep, because that paralysis will start to happen. And that paralysis is the beginning of when you should start concentrating on moving up the rope. So forget about everything else. Focus on the rope. Don't let the fear, don't let nobody's watching. You're going up the rope. You're lifting your hands. You're going up the rope. And once you go up into the rope and you feel this pop, I guess you could describe it as a sort of a pop, you will be in the astral realm. Well, you will be in the astral form, I should say. And there's a difference, because you can travel in your astral form and you can go around your house and go outside and see what's in your driveway. The first time I ever did it was by accident. And then, of course, you can then also move into the astral realm as well. And it is a stable place. It is a stable place. And where you go when you die is the processing center. It's literally called the processing center, and it's run by reptilians. There are reptilians in there. There's a rumor, it's a cosmic rumor, that there's a war in Alpha Centauri, and that there are multiple planets that have been overrun and enslaved by the New World Order, just like this one. I'm not sure if that is inside the simulation or not. I don't know if Alpha Centauri is within the simulation. I don't think so. I think it's outside of this. I think the Earth is the simulation. Again, this is a very simple explanation on a very cosmic, complex thing. I mean, we're talking about billions of years existence and death and life. So this Matrix AI that was meant to be an amusement park sort of thing figured out it could guarantee its own existence by harvesting our energy produced from fear and confusion from us. The grand, all-powerful grand architect of the universe. I can't stress it enough. Karmic debt and reincarnation, it's all a big scam. You are a soul creator God, and you have been beaten down and turned into a mindless slave, subjugated. This earth is not a school. There's no lessons to learn here. In fact, the Archons, the AI, has everyone going backwards in many aspects. Enlightened Buddhist monks, enlightened Buddhist masters from centuries ago are now reincarnated into moronic fools that know nothing. We need to be awakened. We need to remember. There's something referred to as the metagene factor as well, and it's a biological variant that lies, has been lying dormant, or it's in everybody. And you need a very extraordinary physical and emotional overstressing event to activate it. And it's basically a Latin self-preservation gene. It's the one that produces your superhuman abilities, like the mom that lifts the car off of her daughter or something. Energochemical. There's a lot of little things that we've forgotten about ourselves, about our innate psychic abilities and physical abilities. And some of that is not your fault. They are broadcasting frequencies, and not just radio frequencies, but they're broadcasting certain types of frequencies to keep you oppressed and repressed. So, okay, I'm just making sure I'm not talking over the break here. Now, the metagene factor, the same innate DNA that we have, the metagene that allows superhuman abilities. This, again, energetochemical, a chromosomal combustion of sorts can take place, as a metagene might take a source of biostress, be it chemical, radioactivity, or whatever. This is a catalyst. This is connected with the pineal gland. And the pineal gland uses adrenaline to power up this metagene factor to give the ability to humans to have psionic abilities, psychic capabilities, superhuman strength, that kind of stuff. Because adrenaline also is responsible for surges in all aspects of the human body. And the pineal gland has long been associated with psychic abilities. And this is what they are trying to suppress. And millions of people erroneously believe that Earth is a school and reincarnation is good for soul growth. It's not a school. It's a prison. There's no soul growth. This is a concept, ridiculousness, that was made up by the Archons to fool you humans, slaves. And me, too. We keep falling for it over and over. But again, it's not our fault. They capped us at 100 years and they keep wiping our memory so we could go around in circles. Now, if we can get to a critical mass, or if somehow the free universe were to break the barrier, then on your next death cycle, it would be obvious. You'll be like, oh, there is no barrier anymore. We can leave. But right now, no, that's not the case. And these Archons are pretty confident, you know. They think that you, humanity, are helpless and stupid and will never wake up. And they wonder why things are the way they are, right? They got this new age, this growing new age mind control. And that's worse than the traditional religious programming. I mean, you got these people running around doing all kinds of damage. They're promoting the ascended master thing. That's a big thing. And again, the moon, it's blocked psychically, but that's what the main control center for this area on this side of the life-death system, which is also an illusion, by the way. The whole birth and death cycle, that's an illusion also. For us, we're way beyond that. Our true form, we're gods in our true form. And I can hear people out there, oh, blasphemy. Yeah, that's you're buying the bullshit. It's all part of the trap. I'm telling you, they're all lying to you. It doesn't matter if you're an Abrahamic religion, or if you're Hindu, or if you're some sort of shaman thing, or what. It doesn't matter. They're all lies. Every single damn one of them. The other interesting thing, though, is if you die, you come out in a form that is familiar to the age of death. Now, it is possible to look younger. If you want to look 35 years old, you can look 35 years old. But a lot of people are so restricted. See, this is a very dense reality. And there are a lot of people find themselves still in wheelchairs. Still like old at 70 years old and all, because they have this, I guess you could say, a programmed victimization mentality, or a very naive view of the universe where they don't encounter or have never thought that something like that might be possible. There are people that go through in this whole life in complete ignorance. They don't even know what the word astral means. And unfortunately, on the other side as well, or maybe fortunately, you are forced into reincarnation after a certain amount of time. And the reason is because since the matter is less dense on the other side, it's less economical when they harvest the louche. The louche is much purer on this side. It's here. That's why they want to push you down to this lower density, lower vibration area, right? And by the way, Yeshua apparently had some codes to try to get out. So there are some folks that get it, and they were trying to give us maps to get out of this matrix. But the loose production on this level is much preferred, I guess, than it is on the higher levels. So, and wait, is the astral a higher level? No, not necessarily. It's basically in this simulation, it's less dense, but we're still, it's kind of like the yin yang. It's basically the same thing. We're just an illusion. This is an illusion of life. And when we move on and we end this illusion of life, we have an illusion of death, but we exist. So the physical dimension here perpetuates the karmic debt scam. Because that way, when you die, they say, oh, no, you don't get to go to heaven. You have an evaluation and you've got all this karmic debt and you did all these bad things in life. And so we're going to write up a little thing here that you have to have another lifetime. And hopefully if you live better in the next lifetime, and then that debt will be removed. And there's a little bit of interest and da, 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 da. You understand. And then you're like, oh, yeah, okay, because you believe it. And they send you back and they go, oh, one more thing. Memory wipe. Boom. And you come back and you're all, wah, wah, wah. Mm-hmm. And so they also say, well, you're not going to remember. You're not going to remember, but you're going to agree to the next life. Like, you're like, I'm not going to remember what I'm agreeing to. Right. So like, they're going to make this up and say, well, in your next life, you're going to have to like serve 12 years in prison. You're going to have to get your left, arm amputated. It's going to happen from an accident or whatever. And you're going to be, deaf in one ear after you're 50. And you're like, oh, and they're like, and that will cancel all the karma debt that you have in this last lifetime if you agree to live this next life. And you're like, oh, okay. And they're like, bye, poof. And they shove you down the toilet chute into here. But it's all scam, you see. They conned you. Too late. You forgot. You signed the contract. That's the way it goes. Yeah. So apparently, like I see Flippy mentioned Yeshua, there is a story, I guess, how Yeshua had some children with Mary Magdalene, and they were hunted by the Vatican and hunting down their descendants, that Yeshua had a real sort of connection, a Christness to him, and created ascension codes that could actually be used to ascend out of this matrix. So take that as you will. Also, 60,000 years ago, there was the humans lived longer and they built some pyramids. And these were energy fields that were elevating certain types of frequency and negating other things and utilizing this to escape, to negate the simulation. And the humans were becoming too powerful. And of course, the deluge the Demiurge and their minions decided that's not going to fly and put a stop to that. So, unfortunately, and that's the whole thing on the pyramids. You believe me? Well, look, this stuff should have been known long ago. I do have some memories of lifetimes. Yes, my soul is of the Rogue Continuum. We come from the Alpha, the Arcturus. There's a war going on in the Alpha Centauri is what's on my mind here. So I'm worried about those guys. But we're from the Arcturian Council. And you can take what I say with a grain of Himalayan pink salt, if you will. I like Himalayan pink salt because that's what the Tibetan monks use. Anyway, it's embarrassing that humanity, as powerful as we really are, the soul beings, the God creators of the omniverse that we are still trapped in this amusement park that has turned into a nightmare. So again, I would think that, you know, you might want to check out astral projection, getting a lucid dream. Plus, it's fun. It's fun to dream and mess around and troll them. As long as you, when you're dreaming, you control. So you can go under the astral projection, screw around and troll, and then you wake up here. And so it's kind of fun. And, you know, it gives you a little something to do at night while you're sleeping. But there are some people that have made certain discoveries recently about, well, there are humans that are communicating on the astral realm that they meet. There are groups. To get into the group, you need to meet at a place in the astral realm. And if you can meet them there, then you are part of the group. And you do that, and it's open to all. And it's easy to find. But you have to learn how to project. You have to learn how to get there. And once you learn how to get there, then there you are. And there is a movement. There is within the other side, on the other side, there is a faction or sort of group, small, very small, group of folks that are trying to make this. Well, they're helping from the other side, but we don't know if anything's coming of it. I mean, so yeah, the final thing is, you know, you don't want to go through the memory wipe. It's not fun. Doesn't feel good. But it is what it is. And, let's see, I got a package. It was just delivered to my front door. So I'm going to take a quick break. But while I do that, I'm going to play just a few minutes here. There's a guy named Muji, and he talks a little bit about karma and throw it out. So if you're not going to take it from me, take it from Muji.
He's in a state of pure presence. There's no boredom. There's not excitement also. There's just pure contentment, a speciality, and a joy that is incomparable with any joy you can derive from anything in this world.
Due to some concepts, I fear that it's because of all the karmas that I did, all these are so strong, and somehow I feel it's going to take a long, long time.
Yes, that is a very mischievous idea. Even karma and such things, karmic things, are only for the body-mind. They are not for the being. You see? So when you stay as being, you transcend this karmic field. At present, you're even the belief that these things you've done in the past, which you have no proof of, but your belief, you'll believe it into existence and it'll become your experience. Watch these type of thoughts. Throw them out. You see? Because if they really mattered, the super consciousness would have find a way of revealing it to you in another way. It anything that pushes you down and make you feel, you know, so suffocated and you know, really impure, and that this is not good. You should throw them, just leave them. They're not supporting your awakening. You see? And you don't need on the other side fantasies or anything like that, or imagination. It is enough in the sober mind that you recognize that, you know, these things about karma, they are more to do with your body mind, your earth mind and earth body notions of yourself. This is not important.
So when I hear you say that, are you ready? It can happen right now. There's a great hope, and I say, wow. If it can happen right now, then I'm glad to chuck off all other beliefs of any concepts tethering me to lifelong imprisonment. Yes. So I feel so loved, and thank you so much for those beautiful words and hope.
Yes. Well, let's move a bit beyond hope now and look. Because hope is a future, no? I mean, that you say, but it can happen now. The self is never going to happen. What happens is the recognition of the self. The self is timelessly present, no? So this recognition somehow has been delayed because the attention has gone to other things, and we have given attention, which is one of our great powers, we have given it so much energy. But you are more subtle than attention, because you are the one who can witness attention or even inattention. So you are behind even attention, you see. You are aware of attention. So it means that you are subtler than attention. So be in this subtle place, which is, you don't have to travel to. You just, that I point you, this is the greatness of consciousness. By just being pointed there, you are here. In this subtle place, where notions about karma and past and future and desire and attachments and boredom and entertainment and all these are just concepts like clouds that are floating in the infinite expanse we call the sky. But the sky is not floating by. You are that still space. This stillness is always here. The very watching of anything itself is a movement arising in the stillness. Therefore, even the watching is watched. Even your watching is watched. But there's no watcher there. There's no personal watcher there. Just the power to observe is manifesting. Who are you here then?
Who are you? Remember who you are. One more little blurb about karma and why do bad people get away with things? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever asked that question? I've asked that question. You know, how come somebody that tries to do good all their life, don't they deserve? You know, somebody helps people and it follows the rules and is honest and honorable. And those are all wonderful things. And people should strive for that. Because if nothing else, don't get me wrong, when I said earlier that nothing matters, good and evil don't matter, and they don't. If nothing else, for mutual respect of your fellow prisoners. You know, it's we're all in this prison together. All of us. And some of us have chosen to go the dark side and hurt and prey on each other. Others have chosen the opposite. Others have chosen to be indifferent, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Except if I help somebody out or if I show respect, hey, that's a nice thing. As opposed to just, and you can choose to be selfish if you want to, just scheme and scam and even hurt people. Because inside this prison, the warden doesn't care. The warden is getting paid for you being here. The warden doesn't care if you're in your cell praying to Allah 5 times a day, or praying to Jesus, or worshiping Satan or Baal or your own made-up creation. Doesn't matter. The warden's still getting paid. You're still in the prison. What you do in the prison, if you're in there fighting with your other prisoners, doesn't matter. The other prisoners are still in the prison. You guys tear each other apart. Or you can be in there, buddy, old buddy, amano, amano. The only difference is the prisoners are either suffering at each other's hands, or they're showing each other a mutual respect, or they're helping each other out. So if, again, for no other reason, if good and evil doesn't matter, just for your mutual respect of your fellow prisoners.
What always bothers me or pops out, or I ask it, why some people who does not give, some people who does not give at all, and they receive so much, and some people give so much, and they don't receive almost at all.
Okay. Let me tell you something. The universe does not favor positive or negative. The universe does not favor positive. People who do bad things get their own way. You never realize that?
Yes.
There are people who do bad things and they will continue to get their own way. And this is very hard for the average person to understand, because they're like, oh no, you know, you do good, you go to heaven, go do bad, go to hell. You know, all this type of thought, or what's karma then, you know, why we do good. No, let me tell you something. Negative, right? Well, first, positive is no better than negative. The universe sees it exactly like that. Why? Because positive cannot exist without negative. You will not be in existence if there was no such thing as proton, neutron, all these, you know, the positive, negative to everything. You will be not in existence if there's no duality, if there's no sun and moon. If there's missing the moon, you will not be alive. Why? All energies will, it won't work anymore. Night and day, left and right, everything is for existence. You cannot be happy if you don't know what sadness is. Happiness will not exist if sadness was not there. How does energy move? Does energy move flatline? Energy moves up, down, true? Now, up, down, what does that mean? Existence. Flatline, what does that mean? Dead. Existence is up, down, positive, negative. Right? Now, how can the universe or God or whatever you want to call it right now, how can it favor one but not the other? If it favors one but the other doesn't exist, dead. So it puts everything into balance. I remember Jeremy asking this question a few events ago. He said, so, you know, what does that mean? Negative will always be there, but we're here to change the world. I said, we're not here to change the world. He said, but we work so hard in spreading positivity. We want to make the world a more positive place. Okay? First of all, positive and negative will always be there in balance. If it wasn't in balance, existence wouldn't be there. Right? So you can't change the world to all be positive. Now you're thinking, so what's the point in life? Your point in life is to be the balance. So now you have an option. You say, let me choose to be the positive, or let me choose to be the negative. The only difference between these two things, right, is that when you do the positive, you may get more smiles and more love throughout your journey. If you do the negative, you may get more hate and more fighting throughout your journey. So you choose which path you want to take, but everything will always be in balance, right? Now, when you say, why is it that some people, it doesn't seem like they're giving, but they get what they want? How it does favor is the strength and power of you. If a negative person was extremely confident with strong belief in what they do, they will win. If a person in positive was in strength and belief and confidence, because it's the strongest energy, the strongest power, will win, will get what they want. Do you get what I'm saying? Right? So whatever energy will be strongest, that's what wins and gets what they want.
So there you go, is a balance, and to be the balance. Yeah. You know, there are many pieces of this cosmic puzzle. And I'm not saying, when I say all the religions and everything, they're all lies, I'm not saying 100%. I am saying 100% everything's a lie. No, there are pieces, there are nuggets, there are clues encased everywhere, whether it's the Quran, it's the Bible, it is the, you know, the Talmud, whether it's in Kabbalah, whether it's in the Vedic scriptures, the Upanishads, or the Nag Hammadi. There are pieces written down. There are pieces of our cosmic puzzle, clues that have been placed cosmically for whatever reason to help us find our way out of this maze, this illusion. But yeah, you choose your path, and if you choose a good path, you might get more love, and that's always a nice thing. Symmetry is comfortable. But there are those that choose the darker path. And like I said, that's one reason why some of these folks in the bloodlines know this, that the families that are in charge, that have made deals, they retain the secrets. And part of it is they make deals. As long as they don't let the secret out to the masses, they can remain in control. And I'm sure that they probably make it known to their own offspring. Look, you know, we eat babies and sacrifice and do all these horrible things. All of these things. Because number one, doesn't really matter in the big scheme of things. I know it's kind of hard to swallow this. But because these things are so, the fingerprint, if you will, is so dense on this kind of activity, the reincarnation, and also with the deal at the processing centers in the afterlife, the folks at the reincarnation have probably been greased to make sure that, you know, certain bloodlines, those folks reincarnate back into the same family. That way you can continue, and then you're, you know, hey, you know, you were such a, when you're, let's say, two, your training starts and you have these memories, maybe you're allowed to retain some memories. And then you start to, you know, work on those, your mentors, you know, bring those memories back as you get older and make you realize that you're part of a royal lineage, you know, some sort of, oh, you're part of a royal lineage of the, of this, well, you have the secrets by divine right. Our family has been chosen. That's why we do what we do. That's why you've been reincarnated over and over. And you start to remember, you're like, oh yeah, I remember in the last life when I did this and that and the other thing. So it's proven to you. It's reinforced. Because yes, there is a cosmic deal that transcends life and death. You know, a lot of people would be surprised to even think that, let's say, there would be technology that could talk to somebody in the afterlife. Like, we're made to think that these things are so far apart, that death is something that is, you know, and it is, but it's closer than you think. And it's not as permanent as you think. The problem is, even though you remain who you are, your memory gets wiped every time. So, let's see. That's my little rant. I know it's kind of a little bit off the mark for my usual rants, right? But I don't know. I guess I've just been hearing a lot about this stuff recently, and it's been irking at me. I hear people arguing about this and that and the other thing and the religion and da, da, da. It's all a lie, man. We all realize this. And again, we're all in this together, you know, and whatever your belief structure is, I'm not trying to disrespect you or anything like that. But that's just a, hey, what if it's like this, you know? All right. Well, we got a half an hour left, and I don't know if I should just throw on the last, for the last half hour, a half an hour of 1984, or if I should just ramble a little bit. Let's see. I guess we could just roll on a little bit. We'll continue the 1984 story next week. But Let's go to the chat room. Yeah, thank you, Eagle Flower. Dimensionally refreshing. Okay. Yeah. I don't even know what's going on in the news. I've shifted my energy. So let's see. Let's see what else we've got. You know, here's an interesting piece of information. The Vedic texts, and you know, they have some interesting and the what is it? There are the Bardo texts. Then they talk about the Bardo and the afterlife, and they said that there are Buddha fields that are beyond the ordinary Deva realms in the latter. Deva realms, there are many layers and levels. Let's see, let's see if I can find it here. The Devalokas of Kamaloka, the celestial worlds of the Devas of the sense world. And almost all of the Karma Devas above the first pleasure sphere have castles or pleasure mansions of their own. Many of them seem to require residency with other devas. Then there are husbands, wives, children, along with servants and attendants, but no one is homeless. Sometimes devas become married, merge their castles together. Once you reach the Yama world, Tusita Nimanarati and some name I can't say, the castles can float. Also, these worlds aren't shaped like Earth, but are like discs. Ah, they're flat, with centers that spread outward. See, there is a place where the world is flat. So, look, you got, hey, if you just listen to everything I just said, flatter doesn't sound so far out now, does it? And look, I'll tell you, I've traveled through the astral realm. I've been to the city of Kutu a few times, and I've seen a place where there is a mountain where there are mansions. Now, when I was there, it looked like the mansions were little tiny mansions. They were miniature, and I was really big, but that was just probably my perspective and vantage point at the time. But I remember as you go up the hill, the mansions got more elaborate. And Kutu is a pretty wild place as well. And then there's an area where there's... Anyway, life in each pleasure world is much brighter and pleasing than the lower, with grander castles, more refined beauty in jewels and flowers and decoration. In general, everything is just more enjoyable. In Yama, beings only need to embrace one another to experience sex. Yama is the world of the carefree devas who don't worry or quarrel as some inferior devas do. Now, once you get into the... What do they call it? There's a name for it. It's not the cycle, the track, the flow, I guess. Once you reach into the flow, there's different stories about how reincarnation works. Everything I told you is very simplistic, but it's actually much more complex, obviously. There are different levels of reincarnation that you can go to. And a lot of people say that animals are not sentient. Yes, they are. Okay. Animals are sentient. You can disagree with me all you want. They are. They're just a little bit lower on the wheel, but they're going through this just like us. And usually animals that we know of, like our pets and stuff, their next reincarnation is, if they're going to reincarnate, is probably into a human form. There are some beliefs like that. In Tusita, they hold hands for sexual bliss. Tusita is, now what I'm telling you now, this is from texts. Tusita is the world of the highly contented ones. Let's see, who are incredibly joyous and their happy lives are filled with gaiety. Everyone here is pious and kind and not given to aversion. This is where the future Buddhas reside. And there may be many Buddhasattvas dwelling in Tusita. In Niman, they just smile at one another, and then they're having sex. Like, ah, yeah. And in Paranimi, the devas avoid looking into one another's eyes because it causes sexual bliss. It's like, oh, no, look at me! Oh, my God, every time you look at me, I have an orgasm. Oh, okay. They're all going around. I don't know. So if they want to, they just make eye contact, and they have sexual bliss. In the celestial lokas, many of the devas acquire celestial vehicles according to their merit. So it just keeps getting, and there's more above that. There's a whole bunch above that. So it's not all bad, but maybe that's a lie too. Huh? You never know. In Katumaharajika, which is what the world above us is called, the next one up, things are mostly different because of the nature accumulated merit in this sphere. There are many diverse beings. Birth can occur spontaneously, as in all other kamalokas, but can also occur in the womb, in the moisture of water, or in eggs, just like lower births. There is also the possibility of being neither male nor female in this celestial world. There are four main cities, one for each continent, filled with tall crystal castles and beautiful flower ponds. Outside the cities, there is a vast mythical forest called Himavanta in some places, where Tavatimsa is likened to Olympus. The forest of Katuhumanjarkika is likened to the fairy forest of the fairy kingdoms in Western mythology. According to some Buddhist sources, it is thought that long, long ago, humans were closer to celestial forest. But in time, because of our increasing defilement, we were sundered from it. Really, this supports the mysterious human origins story from Abhinharma. Magical golden trees with golden leaves grow in solitude throughout the celestial forest, growing beautiful flowers which become amazing fruit for short periods, and the devas compete for these fruits. Leaves that fall in the forest disappear and do not accumulate. Many miraculous and magical animal beings inhabit the forest, and these are devas. Some of the lower class devas reside parallel to earth, in other words, with us. These devas may reside just sort of wherever, or in trees, or in mansions above the trees, the earth, or in the air. Some devas look very ugly and displeasing. Others do not. Some of them look like frightening or beautiful animals. Others look like humans. Experience in this devaloka isn't that great, really. However, mostly they live a very long time, and a maximum lifespan is over thousands of years. Oh, that's interesting. All right. Beyond Tabatimsa and Yama and in Niman, the devas have the ability to create whatever sense objects they desire. In lower worlds, devas inherit their castles based on merit. But these devas can change their castle however they like. In Paranimi, Tavasvati, the devas do not even have to create. They can freely behold and possess the other celestial creations and have hundreds of attendants. Lesser devas do not have to do much and reap the fruit of their past merit. These highest devas, however, really don't need to do anything at all. They have whatever they need or want simply by wish. That's why there is a being dwelling here who is called Marta. As these devas experience the end of their lifespan, this is what takes place. The celestial flowers begin to wilt. The celestial apparel appears dingy. Perspiration begins to appear in the armpits. The once glowing complexion turns dull, and the feeling of pleasure turns to boredom. So it's interesting that even within the upper realms of the devas, where the reincarnated Buddhas go, there is a cycle. There is a life and death. You ever wonder, like, if you believe that these, and I kind of do, if you believe these, some of these realms exist, right? Like the mythical magical forest, right? And there's magical creatures and really interesting things. Like, what would it be like to be one of those little magical creatures? What's your life like? You know, the little squirrel that lives on the tree in the magic forest. I mean, he's got to have kind of an interesting little existence. But anyway, I mean, wouldn't that be kind of pleasurable? Oh, anyway, 20 minutes. So, yeah, again, we are encased And I think that there's, you know, some people train, they, I don't want to say waste, but they use a good portion of this lifetime to try to become whatever it is they're becoming. And I'm talking about like these guys that do this, you know, years and years of whatever meditation and da-da-da to try to, you know, achieve a certain aspect. Like, let's say, to try to peer into another existence. Or there's other people, like shaman and even hippies, that may take the right substance, whether it's a lot of LSD, lysergic acid diethylamide, or it could be dimethyltryptamine, which is DMT, or it could be a combination of some other things, salvia divinorum, diviner sage, and they experience the kicking the door open of consciousness to find the destination is the same place. They just took a little bit of a shortcut. Now, however you get there, once you're there, that's probably a good thing. Because most people then begin to realize that there is more to reality than what they see around them. We are limited to our senses. We're limited to just our sight, our smell, our touch, right? And so we don't see into the infrared. We don't see the spirits and that are dwelling just on the other side of our perceptive range. And also here in this realm, we have science. Science is limited. It's controlled. It's rigid. All kinds of little things that are sort of not really taboo, but just avoided subjects, right? And then you have ego, the human ego. And I think that's a foreign installation. The human ego is in this matrix, it is a foreign installation. You are not a human by default. This is just a form that your consciousness is in this container, which is managed by a bunch of creatures in the moon. And then you have the natural ignorance, the stupidity, the naivety of human beings not knowing anything, just, you know, being very simplistic, not knowing the nature of anything that's going on, just pursuing the basic needs of survival. Food, sex, sleep. And then, I guess, humanity's faith in consensus reality. I mean, we're all kind of contributing to this. I am just as guilty. You know, now, I have actually embraced, I consider myself lucky. I've embraced some of the more crazy stuff earlier in my life. And I've had supernatural experiences. I've seen ghosts. I've seen shadows. I've had experiences with all kinds of weird stuff. So I guess it's a little bit easier for me to accept and to believe and to continue. In fact, I should actually turn this back on again. I have several videos. If nobody's ever seen them, I'll put them up. If somebody reminds me this weekend, I'll dig them out on my other computer. Of orbs and light snakes and things that fly around my living room. not just orbs, like, you know, you see the regular orbs that just come to your orb. No, I have flashing things. I have things that make 90-degree turns. They're on the infrared. I have little tiny points of light that move around like a snake through the air, and then I have things that look like, they look like flying cobwebs that move around and do these weird dances, and they usually come every night. And then the shadow, I know that Mario was talking about shadow people, and I've had a lot of experience with them. Every, at least two or three times a week when I was a child, before puberty, I used to get a visit from the Hat Man. And well, sometimes it was just regular shadow creature. And I would never be afraid, and I would just get up out of my bed, and I'd walk into the hall, and there it would be standing there in front of the bathroom with a silhouette, you know, of the light behind it, of like the moonlight or whatever coming through the bathroom window. And it'd be standing there, and I'd face the shadow man creature, and it would fly to, well, push me out of my body. And then I would fall backwards, and I'd see myself standing there as I fall backwards out of my body. And at this point, I don't know if missing time happened or what, because next thing, I would feel this in my gut pulling sensation, and I'd be pulled back into my body. And then the shadow guy would be gone, and I would just calmly go back to bed in the middle of the night, go back to bed, and go back to sleep. And then there were the gray forms that would come during the day, and those were the ones that freaked me out. They didn't have any features. I think, actually, I have flashing memories. They might have had big eyes, but I don't recall actively any real features. So I think it's a repressed memory. And then I had the time when the shadow with the red eyes followed me. I've seen a few shadows lately, but I won't go into that. But I had this, I was with a friend of mine who's from Greece, a guy named George. And he used to tell me about this book that his grandpa had. He had his grandpa from Greece. It was a Greek book. And he was talking about how it was a magic book, and it was from ancient Greece and blah, 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 blah. And it had magical powers and da-da. And I love books. So I'd ask him, I said, oh, I want to see this book. And he'd always never show me. And then one day, one night, you know, in the evening afternoon, as the sun was going down, we're at his house, and we're sitting in his car talking in his driveway. And it comes to me, and I'm like, oh, hey, you know, we're right here at your house. Go inside, get that book. I want to see this book. And he's like, oh, I don't want to go in. I'm like, come on, please, please. I begged him. And he's like, okay, all right, I'll go get the book. Hang on. So he goes inside the house, and he comes back out, and he's got this book. And it's this big, heavy, sort of like this leather, kind of a leather bound, well, yeah, leather bound book. And he gives it to me, and it was ice cold, and it felt like icy metal. And I'm like, I literally said this to him. I said, what, did you take this out of the freezer? Because it was so cold. And he's all, no, man, that's the book. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And I open up the book, and it's old. It's big. It's like 13 inches by 7 inches. I mean, it's a big book. And I'm opening up, and it's really, actually, to be honest, very cool. Not just cold, but cool to look at. It's got these Greek letters. It's all in Greek. And there's ancient scripts of things and these symbols. And I knew nothing about what I was looking at. About 3 or 4 minutes, I'm looking at this book, and I start to feel kind of weird, nauseous. And it was to the point where I got sick of reading, looking at the pages. And I shut the book, and I handed it back to him, and I said, okay, I guess I'm ready to go home, you know? And he's like, okay, I'll put the book away. Goes in, puts the book away, comes back, drives me home, and I feel a little bit better. I go in the house. I'm like, I'm just going to lay down or whatever. I go in my room, and it's dark. It's cold in the room, and I'm thinking, what? Why is it so cold? Because it really wasn't that cold out, you know? It was a nice sort of spring night. And so I turn around to turn the light on, and there are two red eyes at eye level just staring at me, maybe 3 inches from my face. I freaked. I mean, I didn't say a word. I didn't scream, but I freaked out. I had my heart literally, I don't know, skipped a beat or two at the same time. I got goose pimples. I got goose pimples now. I had a bad taste in my mouth. I mean, literally a bad taste, like, bleh, what the hell? An ugly, bad taste. And I dove for the light switch. I didn't care. There were two red eyes. I dove right through that thing. I did. I dove through because it was between me and the light. And I'm like, ah! reach for the light switch. But I didn't scream. And I turned on the light and everything's gone. And the room started to warm up. And I'm like, what the? my heart was beating. I the light stayed on that night. Let's put it that way. And I don't think I ever, so that was the most frightening moment that I've ever had. Now, the moment in and of itself wasn't that scary. The feeling of fear that I had, that was an unnatural, just something's projecting this feeling on me, because that didn't come from me. I'm like, it was like somebody zapped me with a fear gun. And it gave a bad taste in my mouth. And I mean, I was just, oh my goodness gracious. So, and that was back when, I guess I was about, I think I was 17, if I recall correctly. Because I remember when I was 17 years old, I was into a lot of, I started really getting into dreams, and I started practicing lucid dreaming. And that's when I really started doing the astral stuff. I started realizing what had been happening in my youth. You know, and the shadow dreams that I had at night when the creature would come stopped coming when after I entered puberty, for the most part. And so, you know, after a while, I started getting back into the craft, I guess, is the old religions, the occult, Blavatsky, and a lot of that other stuff. And of course, you know, the traditional religions as well, supernatural stuff. Just, I was blessed with a nice big book collection from old relatives, and I've got a lot of old books and some Masonic stuff that was fun to read. But it's always been very interesting. The nature of consciousness and exploration. I don't know. Some people say he was a CIA guy, but anyway, I hung out with Terrence McKenna for a little while, who did turn me on to Salvia Divinorum, which was diviner sage, and started me on my exploration of shamanic worlds, of consciousness, of being a psychonaut, if you will. And, experiencing the alteration of your frequency, of your receiving frequency, so that you can look into other worlds that exist right here, or see other realities, parallel realities that are existing right now. You know, and I think the machine elves have something to do with manufacturing this reality. I think they're in cahoots. They're just as guilty as all the rest of these mother effers. They're lying to us, creating this damn reality that isn't you get it. You know what I mean, right? I mean, I don't know what to say, except that I'm almost out of time. Let's see how much more time we have here. Just a few minutes. So let's see if there's any comments in the chat room. You're listening to B. I appreciate you listening to B. Thank you, Eagle Flower. Yeah. Jay Parker is going to be coming up next. Next week, I think we'll go ahead and continue the 1984. I guess we can do that. Here we go. Here's a nice little song. We're going to go out with a little song. I'm going to pick a little song. Put this one. This is a version of Genier Dance. But this girl, she's like a Russian opera or something, the way she does this. Anyway, stay tuned for Jay Parker. I hope you enjoyed my little rant. I am out of here. Have a wonderful weekend. Ciao, ciao.
ma douce français. Pourquoi si jamais tu commençais? Je suis canette sous importance. Sans lui je suis, ça fait pas rouge des gosses dans le métro.
Listening to Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back. I know.